Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is actually the psalm, the appointed psalm of the day, which we had earlier in the service in place of our intro it today. Psalm number 149. We don't actually know who wrote this psalm. The Bible doesn't tell us, but what we do know is that this is a psalm of praise. The very first word in the psalm translated into English is praise the Lord, but in Hebrew, you would recognize it, hallelujah. And so this is a song of praise. As we read through this psalm, as we meditate upon it, we realize that the songs of the saints are the same as the songs that we sing in faith even now. So we are connected to those who have gone before us. This is our text. Dear fellow saints, adorned with salvation, brothers and sisters in Christ, music is one of those things that it seems like almost everybody can relate to. You know, it doesn't seem to matter who you are, there's usually some kind of music out there for you. Maybe you like classical music, maybe you like jazz music, maybe rock and roll or country is more your style. Maybe you really like to listen to sacred music. Maybe you are drawn to certain types of secular music. I know that some of you are already listening to Christmas music. Don't deny it. I know you guys are out there. It's all out there, right? And even if you're not a musician yourself, even if you have never once even dreamed of picking up an instrument, even if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, you can enjoy music. It's just one of those real universal human experiences. I was even reading an article earlier this week about how people who are deaf, people who have extreme hearing loss, how they experience music through their sense of touch. So by feeling the rhythm, by feeling the beat, even people who can't hear, like many of us can still enjoy music. Music is just one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to us because it allows us to connect with each other in a way that goes beyond just words, in a much deeper way. So the music kind of enters into our ears and then it goes down into our hearts. It goes down into our souls. And so it's a spiritual thing, if you really think about it that way. There's really no surprise, then, that we use music the way we do in church, the way we do in worship. Martin Luther once said that music is the handmaiden of theology. The Lutheran church has been known over the years as the singing church. And there's really no surprise. We use music to worship our Lord. We use music also to connect on a spiritual level with all of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who worship with us. This past week, Katie and I got to have a brand new musical experience because what we got to do is leave the kids at home with my parents who've been visiting this week and they're sitting in the back today. And we headed off to St. Louis to see Elton John perform at that same arena where the St. Louis Blues play. I think they call it the Enterprise Center now. You know, it's that building that's changing its name like every 2 years, and it's hard to keep track. So we went there, and we wanted to make sure we saw this concert because we actually missed Elton John a couple years ago when he was traveling and touring with Billy Joel. And so this is supposedly his last tour ever, so we wanted to make sure that we caught this one. And it was a great show. I mean, he played for like 2.5 hours straight. And I think many of you know he's not a very young guy anymore. So I was really impressed by that. But there were a few things that I noticed at this concert, a few observations that I made that I just wanted to kind of share with some of you. First of all, it didn't take us long to realize that there were not a lot of people in the crowd that looked like Katie and me. Okay? So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that we brought the average age of the crowd down quite a bit, just judging from the people that were sitting in the section around us. I think some of them were out past their bedtime. About halfway through the concert, we had a few people dropping like flies. And I also noticed that people were dressed a lot differently than we were. they were not dressed nearly as conservatively as we were, okay? So there were a lot of colorful outfits, a lot of people wearing those big Elton John sunglasses, feather boas, I mean, you name it. There was all these kinds of crazy things. And at one point, I like looked down and I realized my shirt was brown. Like just brown, like that's it. And so I didn't really fit in. But one other thing I noticed too was that Elton John can't really hit the high notes like he used to be able to, which is okay because he had some backup singers that were helping to sing those high notes to make the song sound the way that they're supposed to. But it really came obvious to me when he was performing the song Crocodile Rock. Some of you know this song, Crocodile Rock. In the middle of Crocodile Rock, there's this really high part, right? It goes, la, 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 right? You weren't expecting me to do that, were you? See, I'm still a tenor. I can still hit those notes, right? But he couldn't. So at that point in the song, he just kind of pointed out to the crowd. And he had everybody in the audience singing that part for him so that he didn't have to. I thought that was really neat how that whole thing came together like that. All right, so that's enough singing from the pulpit. I can spare you the rest of the morning. But all of this stuff that I'm talking about ties into the theme for the day, which is, of course, All Saints Sunday. And I thought that it would be nice for our meditation this morning to focus on the appointed psalm for All Saints. Like I said, it's Psalm 149. Now, psalms, as many of you know, especially those of you who had the opportunity to come and join us for our Psalms Bible study that we had here on Sunday mornings, we just wrapped that up a few weeks ago. But psalms are songs of worship. And actually, there are people who say that the book of Psalms is kind of like the first hymnal that God's people ever had. It's like the hymnal of ancient Israel. And so we know that the words of the Psalms were all set to music. We don't know exactly what that music sounded like. You know, we have an idea of what some of the instruments might have been like, but we don't really know what any of those tunes sounded like or anything like that. But this psalm, number 149, is extra musical because it's a song about singing. You see it right away here in verse 1 where it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song." So just like I mentioned before, one of the reasons why music is such a wonderful gift from God for us is because music connects us to other people. And so just like in the same way that Elton John's music could be enjoyed by people that come from all these different generations, from all these different walks of life, people that dress very differently from one another, how much more can these words of Scripture, which were authored by the Holy Spirit himself and found right here in the book of Psalms, how much more can they bring unity with us and all of the other believers that are out there in the world? Not just the believers that are here, right here at Trinity Hoyleton, not just the other believers who live in the same country, the United States, and not even just the believers who are alive on this planet today, but all believers at all times, going all the way back to the saints of the Old Testament. Generation upon generation of people who have all sung these very words in praise to our God for all of the amazing things that he has done for us, and especially for things like what's written here in verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. With salvation, right? Remember, these words were written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. And yet those people were singing about the same promise of salvation that we continue to sing about even now. Because their song of faith is the same as the song of faith that we share even all these years later. That's absolutely amazing if you really stop to think about it for a moment. So what it really comes down to is the fact that our faith in Christ connects us to all believers in the one true God, especially the believers who have gone before us. And verse 5 says, "Let the godly exult in glory, let them sing for joy on their beds. In the old King James Version of the Bible, instead of the word godly there, they used the word saints. So it used to say, let the saints exult in glory. Think about that. That kind of gives you the image of the saints in heaven that are singing praises to God, just like we sing praises to God here on earth. And that's actually one of the reasons why this psalm was chosen for All Saints Day, because of the saints glorifying God. And really, that's what the word saints means. It's all those who are godly, the ones who God makes godly, right? So it's not just a word that we use for all the really good Christians out there. It's not just the word that we use for all of the famous Christians of history, but it's a word, the word saint, can be applied to any sinner who has been covered with the holiness of Jesus' blood. Anyone who God has made holy, not because of their own efforts, but because of God's work alone. All of us are considered saints. So if we're saints, and we have the same song of faith to sing as the saints who have gone before us, ultimately what that means is that we are never alone. And what an important thing to remember, especially on All Saints Sunday, that we are never alone. In a few moments, we're going to have the commemoration of the faithful departed. And any time that we set aside time to talk about death, right, we're going to be remembering those who have died from this community in the past year. But any time we talk about death, there's always the potential that this day will become, for some of us, a day of mourning. Another day to remember that our loved ones are no longer with us. Another day to feel like we're all alone. But when we need a place to turn, when we have all those thoughts and feelings swirling inside us, we have the promises that God gives us in His Word. There's no doubt about that. But another place where we can turn for comfort, and this is going to sound crazy, but we can turn to the Apostles' Creed, especially toward the end. And I know that today is a Nicene Creed day because we're celebrating the Lord's Supper in a few moments. But I really want to highlight just one phrase from the Apostles' Creed, that we believe in the communion of saints. I don't know how many of us realize that when we say that we believe in the communion of saints, we actually are saying that we believe that there is a unity that we have with all believers, even the ones who are no longer with us, right? We're never alone because God has placed us right here in this congregation. He has placed us into a community. We can bear one another's burdens. We can pray for each other. We can rejoice with those who rejoice. We can mourn with those who mourn. But when we together as a congregation approach this altar and we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are actually communing along with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. That includes people like our parents, our grandparents, our brothers and sisters, our spouses, our cousins, our friends, anyone that we love who has already died in the Lord. We are communing with them. The saints are one in Christ. And there's absolutely nothing that death can do to rip that apart. And of course, there's going to be difficult days here on earth. And there's going to be days when we have to rely upon one another here in this communion of those of us who are still alive on earth. We have to rely upon one another, and that's okay, because we were never created to go through life alone. We sing to the Lord a new song, but we sing as a choir, right? A choir needs every single part in order to sound right. And sure, there's always going to be moments where there's a solo that's sung here or there, but even the solos are supported by the choir, right? Just like even Elton John needed some assistance with Crocodile Rock. Love one another. Support one another. Follow your choir director, who is Jesus Christ Himself, because this whole life is rehearsal for the big show, the heavenly choir, where we will join together with all the saints, where we will be wearing those white robes and waving palm branches and singing a new song for all eternity. Until that day, let us do what the psalmist says to do. Let us praise the Lord for the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.